The Tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. Act 5, Scene 2. A hall in the castle. Enter Hamlet and Horatio.
So much for this, sir. Now shall you see the other. You do remember all the circumstance?
Remember it, my lord?
Sir, in my heart there was a kind of fighting that would not let me sleep. Methought I lay worse than the mutines in the bilboes. Rashly, and praise be rashness for it, let us know. Our indiscretion sometimes serves us well, when our deep plots do pall, and that should teach us there's a divinity that shapes our ends, rough hew them how we will.
That is most certain.
Up from my cabin, my sea-gown scarfed about me, in the dark groped I to find out them, had my desire, fingered their packet, and in fine withdrew to mine own room again, making so bold, my fears forgetting manners, to unseal their grand commission, where I found Horatio a royal knavery, an exact command, larded with many several sorts of reasons, importing Denmark's health, and England's too, with, oh, such bugs and goblins in my life, that on the supervise no leisure bated, no, not to stay the grinding of the axe, my head should be struck off.
Is it possible?
Here's the commission. Read it at more leisure. But wilt thou hear me how I did proceed?
I beseech you.
Being thus benetted round with villainies, ere I could make a prologue to my brains, they had begun the play. I sat me down, devised a new commission, wrote it fair. I once did hold it, as our status do, a baseness to write fair, and labored much how to forget that learning. But, sir, now it did me yeoman service. Wilt thou know the effect of what I wrote?
Aye, my good lord.
An earnest conjuration from the king, as England was his faithful tributary, as love between them, like the palm might flourish, as peace should stiff her wheaten garland wear, and stand a comma between their amities, and many such like asses of great charge, that on the view and knowing of these contents, without abatement further, more or less, he should the bearers put to sudden death, no shriving time allowed.
How is this sealed?
Why, even in that was heaven ordinant. I had my father's signet in my purse, which was the model of that Danish seal. Folded the writ up in the form of the other, scribed it, gave it the impression, placed it safely, the changeling never known. Now, the next day was our sea-fight, and what to this was sequenced, thou know'st already.
So Guildenstern and Rosencrantz go to it.
Ay, man, they did make love to this employment. They are not near my conscience. Their defeat does by their own insinuation grow. 'Tis dangerous when the baser nature comes between the pass and fell incensed points of mighty opposites.
Why, what a king is this!
Does it not, thinks thee, stand me now upon? He that hath killed my king and whored my mother, popped in between the election and my hopes, thrown out his angle for my proper life, and with such cozenage, is not the perfect conscience to quit him with this arm, and is not to be damned to let this canker of our nature come in further evil?
It must be shortly known to him from England what is the issue of the business there.
It will be short. The interim is mine, and a man's life no more than to say one. But I am very sorry, good Horatio, that to Laertes I forgot myself. For by the image of my cause I see the portraiture of his. I'll court his favours, but sure the bravery of his grief did put me into a towering passion.
Peace! Who comes here?
Enter Osric.
Your lordship is right welcome back to Denmark.
I humbly thank you, sir. Dost know this waterfly?
No, my good lord.
Thy state is the more gracious, for 'tis a vice to know him. He hath much land and fertile. Let a beast be lord of beasts, and his crib shall stand at the king's mess. 'Tis a show. But, as I say, spacious in the possession of dirt.
Sweet lord, if your lordship were at leisure, I should impart a thing to you from his majesty.
I will receive it, sir, with all diligence of spirit. Put your bonnet to his right use, 'tis for the head.
I thank your lordship. It is very hot.
No, believe me, 'tis very cold. The wind is northerly.
It is indifferent cold, my lord, indeed.
But yet methinks it is very sultry and hot for my complexion.
Exceedingly, my lord. It is very sultry, as it were. I cannot tell how. But, my lord, his majesty bade me signify to you that he has laid a great wager on your head. Sir, this is the matter.
I beseech you, remember.
Hamlet moves him to put on his hat.
Nay, good my lord, for mine ease, in good faith. Sir, here is newly come to court Laertes, believe me, an absolute gentleman, full of most excellent differences, of very soft society, and great showing. Indeed, to speak feelingly of him, he is the card or calendar of gentry, for you shall find in him the continent of what part a gentleman would see.
Sir, his definement suffers no perdition in you, though, I know, to divide him invitorially would dizzy the arithmetic of memory, and yet by yaw neither, in respect of his quick sale. But, in the verity of extolment, I take him to be a soul of great article, and his infusion of such dearth and rareness as, to make true diction of him, his semblance is his mirror. And who else would trace him his umbrage, nothing more?
Your lordship speaks most infallibly of him.
The concernacy, sir, why do we wrap the gentleman in our more rawer breath?
Sir?
It's not possible to understand in another tongue. You will do it, sir, really.
What imports the nomination of this gentleman?
Of Laertes.
His purse is empty already. All's golden words are spent.
Of him, sir.
I know you are not ignorant.
I would you did, sir, yet in faith, if you did, it would not much approve me. Well, sir?
You are not ignorant of what excellence Laertes is.
I do not confess that, lest I should compare with him in excellence, but to know a man well were to know himself.
I mean, sir, for his weapon, but in the imputation laid on him by them, in his meed he's unfellowed.
What's his weapon?
Rapier and dagger.
That's two of his weapons, but, well?
The king, sir, hath wagered with him 6 Barbary horses, against the which he has imposed, as I take it, 6 French rapiers and poniards with their assigns, as girdled hangers and so. 3 of the carriages, in faith, are very dear to fancy. Very responsive to the hilt's most delicate carriages, and a very liberal conceit.
What call you the carriages?
I knew you must be edified by the margin ere you had done.
The carriages, sir, are the hangers.
The phrase would be more germane to the matter, if he could carry cannon by our sides. I would it might be hangers till then. But on, 6 Barbary horses against 6 French swords, their assigns, and 3 liberal conceited carriages. That's the French bet against the Danish. Why is this imponed, as you call it?
The king, sir, hath laid that in 12 passes between yourself and him he shall not exceed you 3 hits. He hath laid on 12 for 9. And it would come to immediate trial if your lordship would vouchsafe the answer.
How if I answer no?
I mean, my lord, the opposition of your person in trial.
Sir, I will walk here in the hall. If it please his majesty, 'tis the breathing time of day with me. Let the foils be brought, the gentleman willing, and the king hold his purpose. I will win for him, and I can. If not, I will gain nothing but my shame and the odd hits.
Shall I re-deliver you in so?
To this effect, sir, after what flourish your nature will.
I commend my duty to your lordship.
Yours, yours.
Exit Osric.
He does well to commend it himself. There are no tongues else for his turn.
This lapwing runs away with the shell on his head.
He did comply with his dug before he sucked it. Thus is he, and many more of the same bevy that I know the dressy age dotes on, only got the tune of the time and outward habit of encounter. A kind of yesty collection, which carries them through and through the most fond and winnowed opinions, and do but blow them to their trial. Their bubbles are out.
Enter a lord.
My lord, his majesty commended him to you by young Osric, who brings back to him that you attend him in the hall. He sends to know if your pleasure holds a play with Laertes, or that you will take longer time.
I am constant to my purpose. They follow the king's pleasure. If his fitness speaks, mine is ready, now or whensoever, provided I be so able as now.
The king and queen and all are coming down.
In happy time.
The queen desires you to use some gentle entertainment to Laertes before you fall to play.
She well instructs me.
Exit, lord.
You will lose this wager, my lord.
I do not think so. Since he went into France, I have been in continual practice. I shall win at the odds. But thou wouldst not think how ill all's here about my heart. But it is no matter.
Nay, good my lord.
It is but foolery. But it is such a kind of gain-giving as would perhaps trouble a woman.
If your mind dislike anything, obey it. I will forestall their repair hither and say you are not fit.
Not a whit. We defy augury. There's a special providence in the fall of a sparrow. If it be now, 'tis not to come. If it be not come, it will be now. If it be not now, yet it will come. The readiness is all. Since no man has aught of what he leaves, what is't to leave betimes?